Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome along to The Worst Idea of All Time with me, Guy Montgomery.
And myself, Tim.
This is a podcast in which Tim and I watch Grown Ups 2 and review it once a week. Today we watch Grown Ups 2 for the 17th time.
I don't know what to feel anymore, man.
You see that every week, I feel.
Yeah, something similar. I don't know. I don't know, man.
Well, it was an interesting watch. I was sort of felt really fresh. Like I had fresh legs, like I was stretched and ready to go for the first sort of 30, and then I definitely started lagging again. But we did bring along a handy dandy laptop this time, and it's filled with treats that I'll share with you a little later on in the podcast. lots of stuff to look forward to there. I mean, how are you going today? Tell me about what you're doing before the
got a real mean bagel.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good on ya.
Pastrami, cheese, and a pickle.
And mustard. Comes with a base mustard. I've had that one.
It's called the Yodi.
It is a very good bagel. That sounds pretty good, man. And how are you feeling, you know, when we started watching the film, what were your thoughts? Were you going, I mean, you said on the way here, or when we were on the way here, you said that you think I'm in a good mood. You've been getting good sort of vibes from the texts I've been sending.
Yeah, you've been very
And I feel
positive.
Like that translated into the beginning of the movie for me. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm okay. I kept getting, I don't know, like distracted by things when I was watching today. Like how easy it would be to cut this movie up into a horror movie trailer.
Yeah. Well,
it'd be so easy because the thing is, they haven't soundtracked lots of the movie because they're very lazy. So you could just apply your own music there.
Yeah.
Wouldn't clash with anything. There's so many moments that taken out of context are horrific. And some of them, even when you keep it in the context, it's still horrific. Like when Adam Sandler keeps trying to drug his kid.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Well, actually, funnily enough, that prompted something from me this week's top three when you were doing that because you wanted.
Did you think of one?
No, yeah, I did. On the way through, I thought of one, which was, because you thought that a good line for it would be when Kevin James is in the car wash as part of the horror thing. It's why is this never ending?
Yeah,
you thought that'd be a good line to put into the horror movie trailer.
Yeah,
but this week I've done the top three taglines. Which, like, for the poster taken from the movie.
Oh, God, I could nail this. Yeah,
okay.
This is a great one.
So that was actually the first one. It's just on the movie poster as a review, as the quote, it just says, why is this never ending?
I'm going to grab... Well, that's quite meta.
I've got two more.
Do you? Oh, so you're just going to do
just
the top
three. And then you can do yours, but okay. I've got three here on the computer.
Top four, then.
Okay, the next one was... I don't see any of these conversations working out for me by Adam Sandler. So you just have that on the movie poster as like the review.
That is good. And even if you add the first bit of that line as well,
I think we should all go our separate ways.
It's like warning you against going to
and
the
then
movie.
This is my third one, which is the favorite one.
Yeah.
Which is Adam Sandler's yelling it out when his friends come over just a little bit before the actual party starts in the movie's climax, which is we're irrelevant. We're losers. We're old.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler.
Yeah. It's such good descriptions of the movie. Now I've forgotten my...
That last one does...
Okay, my one would be there's no statute of limitations on being a dick. Because no matter what Adam Sandler does from here on in, he could cure cancer, he should still be constantly reminded of this heaping turd that he made.
I agree. I mean, that was a pretty fun wee top three. Yeah,
you did a great top three, man. Well done, you.
And speaking of the party scene, which happens...
I fucking hate your face, guy, but that was a great top three.
Speaking of the party scene, which happens at the end of the movie, last week we had a lovely woman named Rosabelle Tan watch the movie with us. Mm-hmm. It was last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And she was sort of taken aback. She couldn't remember any references to the party happening, because the party's a very important scene. The party scene lasts for about 30 minutes. It's the climax of the movie.
Yeah.
It's where all of the characters come together in one place when they're not all doing that all over the town, just constantly throughout the day. And it's there's barely no lead into it or set up for it. It just sort of is thrust upon you. And I sort of thought this week I'd go to the trouble of counting how many times the party is referenced before the party actually arrives.
Sure, so you're like kind of as an audience member set up for it, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
How many times does it get
And
up?
I think I guessed this last week, but I can now confirm it. It's three. A party is mentioned, like this party, I can't emphasize to you, you haven't seen the movie, the significance of this party, even though there are no stakes in the plot and there's no investment because all the characters are so one-dimensional. If there was to be any investment in the movie, the party would be where it would all sort of, the payoff would arrive.
That's where we're leading up to. That's where we're going.
So in an hour, in a 101-minute movie, the party scene takes up 30 of those minutes. Before it happens, it is referred to exactly three times in passing. Never specifically, always a throwaway comment.
This could have been your top three. The top three signposts for the party.
The top three signposts for the party.
So where are they? Where do they come?
The first one is when Chris Rock hops onto the bus with Adam Sandler driving.
Yeah.
And you know, I'd really like to have an end of summer party.
Yeah.
So it's the first time. And then it's a conversation which they quickly sort of move past.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler explains the reasons why they can't have a beginning of summer party. That's it. The second one was Shaquille O'Neal to Adam Sandler in the Kmart car park. He goes, "I heard you're having a party tonight, Lenny." And he goes, "What? Who told you that?" And then it cuts to Chris Rock, who sort of raises his eyebrows in a cheeky way. You also had a point you wanted to raise about Shaquille O'Neal in the car park.
But do you want to do your number one?
No, we can save
it. Okay.
I got one more. But...
It's the fact that, and I'm not sure if we've ever brought it up before, that Shaquille O'Neal at one point in the movie waves a loaded cocked pistol at them, like a police issue gun. You can't tell what it is, it's too far away, but probably a Glock, that's what they use, a Glock 9mm at most enforcement authorities around the states.
How do you have that information?
It's just standard knowledge.
That's not standard knowledge.
Yes, it is. It's a very common gun.
But, I mean, I didn't know that the standard issue police gun was a Glock 9mm.
Well, now you do. Right? This is sort of,
I feel like, a recurring motif in the film now, in continuation from your insistence on showing me the knife you bought and your care in your person at all times.
Oh, yeah, well, I've got another knife-related thing for later, but one thing at a time. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, I mean...
My point is, Shaq is a... Like, it's supposed to be a funny joke that you laugh at because Shaq goes, "Put your hands up," and then he goes, "Now wave them..."
Almost.
As an
audience member, though, we don't even know that these guys know Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, we assume they do because there's no way you'd introduce a Shaquille O'Neal cop character to the movie if he wasn't just going to be friends with the gang.
Yeah.
Because it would have been weird if he was playing like a foil or an antagonist or a villain. But as an audience member, you don't know that they're all friends. So when Shaq goes,
Freeze,
put your hands in the air.
And we're
thinking, wow.
Yep.
This escalated really quickly before we were in a lovely infomercial for Kmart, and now we're in a supermarket hostage situation.
And it's not an unreasonable thing to happen either, because the cop steps out, Shaq, and goes, "Where'd you get that school bus?" And Lenny Fader says, "We stole it."
Yeah.
So, like, a cop could pull a gun that situation. So you're like, oh, no. Adam Sandler's big mouth / Lenny Fader is going to get him shot today.
It turns out it's just a lovable, negligent cop, Shaquille O'Neal, just waving his Glock 9mm around with reckless and joyous abandon in the Kmart car park because it's just another fucking Tuesday in Shittsville, USA.
Whilst never further investigating where the school bus actually came from, but more than happy to present a police escort
for said school bus with what looks like a highly illegal situation going on the roof with a raft and the actual bus driver who they're trying to kill. They are trying to kill Nick Swartzen throughout the film.
Yeah, it's weird. But that brings me nicely to my shining light today. It's when they kill Nick.
Ah, in the bus.
Yeah.
And why is that your shining light today?
It's just so absurd. It's so it's so ramped up against everything else that's happening. Like, it's funny that they string Nick up in the school bus with rope. He passes out because he's medicated for an emotional condition, some sort of psychological condition.
His wife saw him
eating a banana
with his butthole at her mother's house.
So he's at the parents-in-law, and he goes, "Hey, I'm at dinner. What should I do now? I know. I'll anally insert
sort of
a banana.
Outlandish thing should I do so I can insert it into the next Adam Sandler comedy script?"
And there it was. So his wife left him. He's in a bad place. And then he passes out because of all the meds. Luckily, Lenny Fader knows how to drive a stick. And he drives the shit out of that bus. And they tie him to the ceiling of the bus,
upside down
like a vampire. And then when Kevin James comes in, he just pulls a rope, which releases it and drops him
on his neck, on his head,
which will probably paralyze you but won't necessarily kill you. But what they do is then Lenny accelerates the bus really quickly.
Watch this.
Yeah, he says, "Watch this,"
with venom.
And then Nick's body is thrown immediately to the back of the bus, where you see his head break the fall against the back wall, and you just hear this crunch, and you see his body contort, which there is no doubt about it. He's dead now. They've just killed Nick. They've killed the bus driver. And Adam Sandler's response to this is, "You gotta respect that."
And Kevin James gives him a high five. Well, Chris Rock, who actually isn't convinced by the whole thing, is sort of looking at these guys like, "This is insane that we are stringing up and killing the bus driver."
They take
on a Tuesday morning, but then it's okay because by the time they get to Kmart, the bus driver's fine. Nick's alive.
In a lot of scenes, Chris Rock tunes out to what's happening.
Yeah.
I feel like you see him in the background a few times. He's clearly not putting any
dead eyes looking around the room for something to do. I got two things to get through. Yeah. Obviously, the third one is the reference to the party. We got a little sidetracked by Shaquille O'Neal and his Glock 9mm. Mm. So the third reference to the party, remember there's been two so far leading up to this big crescendo in the film. The third one is Selma Hayek to Adam Sandler after the ballet recital. And it's just a throwaway comment while they wait for Stone Cold Steve Austin to come in, a.k.a. Tommy Cavanaugh. And she goes, "I just wish you'd tell me 8 hours before we're having a party." And those are the only three indicators you have.
So what you've got to understand about those lines as well,
it's a house of
that
cards.
Guy's named, is that they're like
innocuous throwaway lines.
There's so much shit in the film that's said that doesn't have any consequence that, like,
you wouldn't suspect
you would never string those dots together to think that that's a party is coming up based on that.
And then when the principal's having dinner with his family, he says, "What time's the Fader Bash tonight?" That's when there's confirmation.
Penny is
those were
dropping.
All leading up to this big thing. This is, the party's on, and it's 80s themed. And as for my shining light, Tim.
Yeah.
Again, I got a list of three moments I enjoyed today, thanks to the laptop.
Don't burn out, mate.
Help me remember.
Yeah, but like, if you use up all the shining lights, how are we going to get through another 30?
Oh, I see. 7, you think 8, I should save 6 save two of them?
Launches.
Okay. Well, then today it was a scene involving Shaquille O'Neal. We gave Shaquille O'Neal a lot of credit today. I think that was because you were saying Jermaine Ross.
Yeah.
Fan of the podcast.
Fan of the podcast, long time
also
listener.
Host a fantastic podcast himself with some other guys called The Issues.
The Issues podcast.
But he told you that he watched the movie on Sky, and Shaquille O'Neal was one of his favourite things about it.
Yeah, cracked him up.
And he also, Shaquille O'Neal got me today.
He's good in this movie.
At the end, some Hayek's trying to tell Adam Sandler to put their daughter to bed, and Adam Sandler's like, "Nah, I just want to fucking neck some beers with the boys." And then she's like, "No, I think that's bad parenting, and you should put your daughter to bed." And when she's saying this, Shaquille O'Neal is just looking at Adam Sandler.
I think the line is, "You wouldn't want to have too much punch with all these kids running around."
Yeah.
To the bit that you were talking about. And what's Shaq doing at that point?
He's just shaking his head at Adam Sandler like, "Come on, we've talked about this, man. Like, you should stop getting so fucking hammered at these parties, you know, where you invite the whole town. And, you know, knowing the way you live your life, there's a chance that there's going to be a big all-out brawl later on."
I'll be saying, like, you be Shaq.
Okay.
I'm just having a few beers. I'm a grown man.
Lenny, I got to tell you, down the station, we're sick of you coming in every Sunday morning after these parties, man.
Oh, come on. We're just having a little fun.
You're not having fun anymore. I got to sentence you to 200 hours community service and AA counseling.
Hey, I'm going to sentence you for being a dick.
Okay, Lenny. I think even now I can smell the whiskey on your breath.
I don't know. That's all I got. That's all I got for that.
Doesn't bode well for when we're doing our episode, which is the gym teacher and the
that'll be written. That's going to be a proper script that we write out. So that was my shining light, was Shaquille O'Neal chastising Adam Sandler for being a lousy parent.
I reckon Shaq, we should just give a little round of applause to, because he's actually a good part of the movie, I think. He's very nice.
Other things that jutted out to me today?
Well, I don't have a knife today, and I'm glad you asked.
I thought we had a new always have a knife on your person policy in place.
I do, but I've just got the little one today.
You got two knives now?
Yeah. No, I've always had two.
You just did a classic, like, crazy person lead into conversation where you just say something. You're like, I don't have my knife on me today, which prompts me to ask, oh, you don't have your knife on me today? And then you go, oh, actually, no, I do have a knife on me. I've just got my small knife. I got two knives.
Yeah. That's all. I was just giving you a heads up that our new co-host isn't here, though, who came on last week.
Oh, you are the knife.
The
I'd rather we did spend less time. I'm happy to not talk about the movie, but I'd rather spend less time talking about knives.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that we've talked about Kevin James and his wife's relationship before.
Yes.
But when they're in the car on the way to the car wash, and he confesses that he perved on the ballet teacher, and she says, it's all right, I was looking today too, as in I was checking out a hot piece of man today.
Yeah.
And Kevin James has got... His wife is allowed to look at men. He's a new age kind of guy. He understands that, you know, it's only human to lust. But he has three criteria for which the man that his wife is allowed to perv on. The man can be one of three things.
The setup is, Kevin James says, what did he
say? I don't mind you looking at him. So long as he is either, his wife can check out anyone who's gay. So that's okay. As long as they're gay, Kevin James' wife can have a squiz. As long as they're a cartoon. If it's a sexually drawn cartoon, a muscle-bound cartoon character on a beach, Kevin James' wife is allowed to check them out. And the other person who it's okay for Kevin James' wife to check out is a dead person. It's fine for her to just perv on dead people. And I'm assuming you don't see that many dead people sort of lying around on the street, which means that it's fine by him if his wife goes to the cemetery, digs up some corpses,
yeah,
and looks at them, or just goes and crashes
into a morgue,
yeah, or crashes funerals,
yeah,
which is a whole other movie.
Yeah, I've got no issue with that. If you're lusting after alive men, we got problems.
Yeah, real life straight person, we got problems, lady. But if you just want to go and check out some corpses while I sleep at night,
on my list of priorities, if I'm Kevin James, like if I'm in that situation, I'm going to be worried about my significant other lusting over straight alive people,
mm-hmm,
and then gays, and then dead people. That's just me.
That's the order.
That's me.
Yeah, it's sensible.
I think so. Because I think with, you know, people who identify as gay, there's an opportunity that they can still... Well, they can do it. They can have sex with your wife, maybe. A dead person definitely can't.
Well,
do
I mean,
that.
If I lived in the city that they live in, and I was gay, and I knew I could have sex with Kevin James' wife, I would do it, even as a gay man who's not attracted to her, I would do it just to spite Kevin James. As a gay man, I would have sex with Kevin James' wife. And I think this goes beyond the world of grown-ups too. This is just... This is a public announcement to any gay men,
yeah,
who ever have the opportunity to have sex with Kevin James' wife in the real world.
I reckon this situation exactly could play out because Kevin James, I'm assuming, lives in Los Angeles. He's chasing movie scripts all the time for a paycheck. So his wife, it stands to reason, also lives in LA. And I'll bet she probably does do yoga or something.
Yeah.
This could happen. The yoga teacher could be gay.
I wonder how big gay listenership in Los Angeles is. Certainly, I mean, we're certainly hoping it'll get bigger. We're not 100% on those numbers. We don't have the technology yet to check in on those specific numbers.
But then again, we're not Prop 8, you know? We're more popular than that.
No. Tim, fuck man, there's so... We should bring a laptop every week. Honestly.
Yeah, or a notebook. We could just write these down. And we did start with back in the day.
Oh! I do it on a laptop. I've got a whole thing
here.
We
haven't got into the thing yet. This was the... Oh, God. We're already 18 minutes in. This was the main crux of the podcast this week.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states.
United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound. And you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So, Braden Higgins is David Spade's son. He's a character in the movie, and with my laptop today, I decided to take stock of every line.
You remember Braden? He's the guy I thought was a warlock.
Yeah. So across the movie, because I wanted to think about this objectively as the actor who plays Braden. I don't know his name, but his agent goes, "Hey, we'll call him Adam. Hey, Adam, I got a script for you. Real meaty part in an Adam Sandler comedy. You want to read it over?"
An Adam Sandler script? Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're really going to like this character. He's got lots of dimensions and depth.
Okay, so how much screen time are we talking? How many lines have I got in this thing?
Screen time, it's hard to say. You get 20 lines.
What? In the whole film?
In the whole film, you get 20 lines.
Are you serious? Am I in like one scene?
No, you're in the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, the movie's got a lot of lines. A lot of lines to go around. You get 20 of them.
Wow. 20 lines and now, you're saying I'm in more than one scene?
Do you want me to read the lines to you or do you want to read the lines to me?
Do we have time for that? Could you really just rattle through all 20 lines while we're talking right now?
Yeah.
All 20 of my character, Braden Higgins' lines in the script.
Yeah, if you want, I'll also do them as you should do them in the movie. I'll do them as
that's what agents are for.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So your first line, you go like this.
No school. Summertime.
What do you think?
Well, it doesn't make any grammatical sense.
Yeah, I know, but
I'm not even sure what the meaning behind
it is. It's part of the character. Think of the character when I'm doing these lines. Think of it as sort of like a warlock. It's like a warlock sort of figure.
Okay, so, slightly mystical, kind of dark. Maybe has some supernatural powers that are alluded to in the film.
Maybe. Okay, so your second line is you go,
no, I sit here.
I like that. That's gritty.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. I'm into that second one.
I'm just
going to
roll through some now.
So wait, are you doing this in chronological order? Like we're going to cover the whole movie
from
the
start. We're going to cover the whole movie from the start. So and then you can guess what the movie is. Okay.
I want to smash his face.
That's your third line. What do you think?
I want to smash his face. Now, again, do I have to deliver it just like you do?
I would suggest doing that.
Okay, because it seems extremely, well, for lack of a better word, kind of stupid the way that you're
doing it. No, I think that's the way you should do it. Okay,
I want to smash his face. Okay, what's the fourth line?
I don't know. I told him it would be cool if he stayed late at the soup kitchen, so it's all me.
Right.
Apropos of nothing. I'm not going to give you any context for that.
Okay, that's interesting. This is like a guess who, but for movie plots. Yeah.
So now your next line, which is part of that same scene.
Two lines in one scene.
Now, how about we do something fun? How about we do something we're not supposed to?
Jesus. Is he talking to a girl at that point? I feel like that's sort of a cross-legged I came on
a little heavy with the voice in that scene.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that's how you shouldn't do it like that, that one. Okay. That was wrong.
All right, well, what's the next line? Let's check this out.
Keep out? That just makes you want to not keep out.
No, you got to be reading that wrong.
No, that's...
Once again, give me the words.
That's how it comes off the paper.
Keep out? That just makes you want to not keep out.
God.
Just to paint a more vivid picture, your next line is, and this will be your seventh line in the whole movie,
no go, stay.
Now, sorry, stay the imperative? You're commanding someone to stay.
You're sort of talking to yourself and to them.
And also, I don't want to get strung up on this because I know it's three words, but are you sure it's not go, stay?
No, it's that's how it's written. No go, stay. You're sort of like convincing yourself and some other guys that you should stay at this place. And then your next line, and this is a great one. You'll love this. Okay. This is sort of like Al Pacino's Inches speech in Never Again Sunday.
Okay, this is what I went to drama school for. What are we dealing with?
Woo!
One more time.
Woo!
What's the next line?
You don't want to talk about how good that line is?
What's the next one?
Summertime.
Next.
Well, the next one's not really a line, but you get a good bit of screen
Jesus
time.
Jesus Christ.
This is
devolving as the script goes on.
It gets stronger.
How did you...
It gets stronger.
You haven't signed me up to this, I'm not attached. You're offering
it starts real strong, and then it gets a little weak in the middle, and then your lines get real strong again. So,
well, what is this next one?
It's not a line. You just do some heavy breathing, and then you've
written... Heavy breathing.
Heavy breathing. I've just put heavy breathing in italics down for you. And you also have... You have soup kitchen my ass written on your arm.
Oh,
but I'll explain. You don't need to worry about that. I'll tell you about that later. And then your next line is... So the soup kitchen thing, sort of, it's a recurring motif in your character.
Okay.
It underscores the whole thing. The next one is you go, you lied about the soup! You lied about the soup!
Okay. And that's good. We're heading more towards
you're yelling
the
at your dad.
I like it.
Okay. Your next line
is... This is almost like a you can't handle the truth.
Your next line is, boo! You're scaring your dad.
My dad? Okay, and then what?
And then...
For that line. After the boo.
Her name's not Hiccups McGee.
So he says, boo, her name's not Hiccups McGee.
It's a different scene. I'm just going to rattle through
Wait
some...
a minute, so no is one line?
No, boo is one line.
Boo is one line?
Boo is one of your lines. It's got an exclamation mark, which means it requires lots of acting.
What's after Hiccups McGee?
So why do you call her that? This is all part of a conversation.
Okay.
So you be Ugly McGee. That's one line. Shorty McGee.
That's another one of your lines.
Viagra McGee.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there. Those aren't separate lines.
No, well, so yeah, like three
you're
of
reading
your,
commas as separate lines.
Three of your...
I don't know
no,
how
no, 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 no. Three
I
of your lines.
You.
Three of your
you're
lines.
You're a terrible agent.
No, yeah, three of your lines. It's just a word and then the word McGee. But there's still three different lines.
That's not three different lines.
Wait, okay, I got three more lines for you. See if you like any of these.
What enough there are lines
now?
No. One of them was heavy breathing, for God's sake.
Your next line is, Hall & Oates? Yeah, what is that, like a cereal? That's a funny line. That's a funny joke.
Yeah, okay, I like that one.
And then you've got, Wee! Which I know it seems inconsistent with a lot of the other stuff you're saying, but you go on a real roller coaster. You're real up and down character.
What's your
final line?
What's my last line?
They didn't do it. Me do it.
Oh,
which
fuck
is sort
off.
Of a
come on.
It's sort
I
of,
did it.
It's sort of a return to
the
no,
incorrect pronoun.
That's consistent with your character. That's true to you.
Oh, for the love
so, cause
of God.
So, as to your character, because remember, your first line is no school summertime, and your last line is they didn't do it. Me do it. So it's sort of like a commentary on summer. The movie's called Grown Ups 2.
I'm Tim Batt.
I'm Guy Montgomery. Don't watch the movie. That
Pray
was
for us.
Oh.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.